God told Moses, you can have the promised land, but I'm not going with you. And Moses is like, no, I don't want the promised land without your presence. And that's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 13, rejoice, because you have someone who intercedes on our behalf and repents as possible.
Hey, Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Beach, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, so church again, we've had some disruption in weekend schedules. We've had Beyond the Message before the message, and now this might come out on Tuesday. It's Memorial Day tomorrow.
So we're recording it right after the service of Sunday, so it's live and raw.
I don't even know what I'm going to say.
Let's say it.
We're getting after it. Jake, we just wrapped up 2 Corinthians.
Finished the book, yeah.
I think looking at the book of 2 Corinthians, what are just some, like, as you think about what you preached on, what was taught about as a church, what are some highlights, some things that stuck out? If you're like, man, if we could just grasp onto this heart in 2 Corinthians, what Paul is getting after, I mean, even today, I feel like that wrap up in these last four verses kind of ties a neat bow on it.
Yeah.
What's really getting out? What's our hope for us as a church?
Just walking away from this study. Well, 2 Corinthians 5 is one of my favorite chapters in Scripture. So, I mean, just such rich truth there about we learned about double imputation and better understood what Christ accomplished for us on the cross. It's called to be ambassadors, to be a new creation in Christ. Going back even to chapter 4, which we referred to it quite a bit of the enemy blinds the minds of unbelievers, mm-hmm. preventing them to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Like, better understanding what it means to believe and to see.
Yeah.
And I think that provides a rich understanding of what we're called to, what happened to us in salvation, what we're called to help other people, help them see the glory of God in Christ. We spent a lot of time in chapters 8 and 9 on money. Mm-hmm. Paul spent a lot of time talking about it. So we spent a lot of time talking about it. So I think that hopefully that'll stick with us. It felt like our people just responded well in wanting to be a generous church and not be caught in the entanglement of sin, of self-centered greed.
Yeah.
So that was helpful. And then I maybe it's because it's recent, but just the beginning of chapter 13 and this call to examine yourself and test yourself. Hopefully that's just an ongoing practice that all of us do frequently, kind of look in the mirror and take inventory.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sweet. Man, there's a lot. That was – when did we start this? Was that August?
Labor Day.
Labor Day.
Or
okay.
The week before, the week after, or Labor Day, somewhere around in there.
That's exciting. Yeah. That's sweet. I mean, it's always like – it's not like, all right, we're done with that, move on. But like,
You feel it's been so long. It's like you're sending a kid away to college. Like, okay, are we ever going to come back to 2 Corinthians? Are we ever going to read it again?
I think we will.
I think we will. It's been good.
That's sweet. Just again, I mean, today, wrapping up those last four verses, main idea was submit to God's truth together with God's people to experience God's presence.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you had like a part two of this message or you wanted to expand on something else, what would stick out to you?
I mean, it would have been good to go back to Exodus 33 and just really hit by that story of where God told Moses, you can have the promised land. I'll send an angel, like you'll get it, but I'm not going with you. And Moses is like, no, I don't want the promised land without your presence. And just seeing Moses' passion for the presence of God and wanting that passion for his presence as well. Like, and then just even understanding what's happening in that context of the people rebelled or sinned against God. That's when they made the golden calf and Moses interceded on their behalf, which is a foreshadow of what Christ does for us as well. And that's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 13, rejoice, because we have someone who intercedes on our behalf and repents is possible. So maybe kind of go back to that story and just create in us a passion for God's presence.
Yeah, that's good. It kind of made me think of just As I was trying to think of some questions for today, since usually I have a little bit more time. We don't even have listener questions. But last week and this week, there was a specific focus on God's people, like the togetherness and kind of the, hey, all y'all. Like, I mean, Paul is not writing this to one specific person, but it's the group, the church that's gathered in Corinth, and he's got a relationship with them, and he's calling them to holiness, and he's addressing specific issues. What do you think? I mean, how do we continue to have an awareness and an intentionality on not just an individualistic Christianity where it's, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, this is what God is calling me to do now, where like we can make it all about us really easily, but there's clearly that's not what we're called to.
Sure.
What are some things that we can keep that on the front of our mind? Like, how do we remind ourselves of that more often?
I do think there's an overlap of self-benefit and community.
Yeah.
Where, okay, am I being about me to admit that I need others to help point out my own blind spots so I do better? Is that selfishness or is that just wisdom? Or admitting I need to be in community with the body of Christ so that I have a closer relationship with Christ that I just can't have on my own. Is that self-centered or is that just biblical and wise? So I think there's an overlap of, you know, the best thing for you is community, and the way that God uses community both to shape us in our own holiness and experience him. So just being aware of that ourselves and building in rhythms of I can't isolate. I can't just be me alone. I think maybe we've oversold, not oversold, but maybe leaned too far into this personal relationship with Christ, just me and Jesus, and we've maybe undermined the importance of the body of Christ in our own relationship with God. So rhythms, like going to church, going into your connection group, like guard those times.
Serving
with other people.
Yeah.
Corporate worship, singing with other people. Like, that's better than the radio.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. I feel like there was one time early on in, when I was in youth ministry where we would like take students to, hey, you're going to be going to the University of Iowa next year. So like your senior year, let's go down and go visit Salt Company in Iowa City. Kind of just so it's not like this brand new thing you've never experienced. Let's just go down and experience the night, see where it's at. And so I think it was one of those messages. I can't remember if it was when I was at Cornerstone or Veritas Iowa City, but basically like the gist of that Thursday night message was like, you need to worship God. Like your singing matters to God, but also like you need to sing with the other people you're gathered with and they need to sing and minister to you. And just that, like the corporate worship, the learning, I mean, the preaching of the word, like we often can even in preaching where it's like, it's the thing the pastor does up on the stage, but preaching of God's word without the receiving of God's word. So it's all the people gathered together, receiving God's word, being convicted by the Spirit, leaning in, trusting, obeying. Like, I mean, it's an active, it's not a passive thing that we're sitting by and receiving. So, just that like, corporate worship, like it's not just for you, like you show up and you're not just receiving, you're contributing.
Yeah.
Like you are being led in worship because the worship is something that we're all doing together.
Yeah.
It's not something we're just like
sing songs, experiencing. Hymns, spiritual songs to one another and to God.
Yeah. Man, that's sweet. Love that. Jake, I think maybe third question here. As we get ready to go into 5 weeks on worship and a sermon series for the summer called Sweeter Than Honey, what are you hoping for us as a church that we would either see a renewed commitment to or experience together if we take seriously some of the stuff that we're going to encounter in these next coming weeks and over the summer?
Worship is more than corporate praise, singing on a Sunday morning, and we'll talk about that. But I really hope we just have deeper roots of understanding what worship is. So we don't just come to church and just do it, just sing, just kind of, like, understand what and why it's important to increase engagement in that. I'd really hope for that. And then the Sweeter and Honey series, just deepen our appreciation for the Word of God, that we would feed well on God's Word as a church. We'd love it.
Yeah. So. I love that. That's sweet. All right. Well, we might have just set a record for one of the shortest. I don't know if this was a great idea, but here we are. You're probably listening to it at some point this upcoming week. Hope this is a benefit to you. Also, again, I mean, usually we've got a little bit more time. Today, nobody sent in a listener question, but if you have a listener question you want us to discuss, whether it's regarding the sermon on Sunday or some theological thing, Bible, something you're confused in your Bible reading. We love getting these questions. So send that in. It's either, in the weekly connection group, question email or linked on the digital program. Send in your questions. We love to talk about those. We'll get some more next week. And again, church, let's be reminded that we submit to God's truth together with God's people, and that is a specific and special way that we can experience God's presence. Church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.